with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are in it. Amen? And so, praise God. Let's go ahead and pray and prepare. I know you came already prepared, but we're going to just come in unity. Thank you, Father. We have prepared our hearts to receive from you through the help of the Holy Spirit and giving us light as we read Scripture, as we hear truth. Lord, we thank you for the Spirit of truth that abides in us, who leads us to all truth that we need to have in every area of our lives. We remember your words, Lord, where you said, let there be light. And we thank you, Lord, we believe that we receive it, that we receive light into our hearts, light into our minds, light, understanding, development in you. And we give you the glory tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to start in Galatians 1:4. For those of you that might wonder, there was at least Brenda, I know, that brought her notes from the healing school that I did several years ago now. A few years, not that many, but a few years. And so I'm going a little different direction. I thought I was going to go through these, but I'm going at least at the beginning a little different direction. Yet there is a chapter here that has to do with what we're going to deal tonight. So the scriptures are there, but we're just going to go a little different. You know, the subject of healing is so... it's everywhere in the Bible. That I'm like that. I don't know how to teach it the same way twice. Certain things, yes, but other things, you know, there's just more. You just get more. So I'm going to start tonight with Galatians 1:4. And from there, I'm going to give you quite a lot of scripture today. Last week, I started the subject and declared to you how that I was going to show you things in the scripture, so that's my assignment, to show it to you in the scripture. So Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself, well, let's go ahead and read verse 3 as well. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And so you may think, why this scripture? What does this have to do with healing? So you see, many, many people have thought throughout the years that the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus only was to affect our spirit being. You know, as I grew up, and lovely people, like I told you, you know, some of my favorite people in the world, at the time, the most favorite, you know, they still are. But every promise of God was only seen toward eternal life, toward, you know, going to heaven, and in the sweet by and by, and when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And yes, it will be. You remember, I love that song. Do you know that song too? When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Glory to God. But you know what? He wants us to sing and shout the victory now. We don't have to wait to heaven to shout it. Now, we're going to shout about certain things then that we can only shout then. But we have believed them now. I don't have to wait to be healed. You see, there's too many times How many of us have heard that? We may have even said it at some time. Somebody dies in sickness, and you hear, well, finally they're free. And I'm not saying that I'm condemning them. I'm not condemning. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. Why should I? You see, but we have to be careful that those things don't give us a frame of mind that is just going to happen when you get to heaven. We can have health and healing here and now. I believe God's best is that not only do we get healed, but that we live in divine healing and divine health. We don't have to get sick. We're going to see in some scriptures, did you know, and I know this is going to sound too big for some, but we don't have to sin. We don't have to get sick. Same thing. We're going to see many scriptures today where sin and sickness are clumped together. We were redeemed from both. Jesus atoned for both at the same time. Amen? You resist sin, we resist sickness. Amen. You know, it's the job of the believer because temptation is out there, but we say no. Right? I can guarantee you that I could leave $50 there on top of the piano and none of you would come and steal it. You may think, man, I need that. Man, I could use that. But you're going to say, that's not mine. I'm not going to go get it. Right? So you see, you've learned to not give in to temptation. Just because thoughts come, you don't act on them. You check to see, is that a thought that is from God? It's not, then you resist it. See, grace is for that. Did you know that? God has given us grace. The Spirit of grace is on us to strengthen us to overcome, to strengthen us to oppose everything that comes against us that is of the kingdom of darkness. So this scripture is really good. Verse 4 of Galatians 1, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Are there things going on in this? This present world is evil.
Yes, it is.
And it is being, the evil of this present world is being exposed more and more every day.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
Pastor gave me an article to read yesterday, and he even told me, don't read it before you go to bed. I don't want you to. I said, okay, well, what is this? But it was talking about what's happening in this present evil world and how that it is attacking Christians. And Christians are living these things. But you see, we've got to remember the scripture that he has delivered us from this present evil world. Amen? Well, let's go now. And I'm going to talk to you about a word that Pastor Jim talks about a lot all the time. It is the word zozo, S-O-Z-O. It's a word, that's a New Testament Greek word that means saved. It can be translated save or saved. It can also be translated healed and delivered. It's translated other ways, but we know it. That is the verb sozo, and the noun is the word soteria, which is salvation. Okay? So we're going to talk about salvation. We're going to see it in the Word of God. Sozo was used over 100 times in the New Testament. And it's an all-encompassing word for salvation. Like I told you, most often it is translated save or save. Now, go with me to Matthew 1:21. Or just, I'm going to go quite fast. So I'm glad that I have a fast secretary over there. Matthew 1:21. And you might write also for yourself 1 Corinthians 1:21 and Hebrews 7:25. You're going to see this word translated save. I could give you many other, but just take my word. Or if you don't want to, that's fine with me, no problem. You can go and look it up in your Strong's Concordance, all right? And verify the 38 times it is translated save. This word zozo. One example is here, Matthew 1:21. It says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save, this is the word zozo, his people from their sins. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 1:21. You're so good. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save, that is zozo, them that believe. So that's that word, okay? Now, Hebrews 7:25, she already has it. Wherefore, again, this is talking about Jesus. How many of you love Jesus? Amen. This is a special week. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to get into it. We're going to give emphasis to what we're celebrating this week. Wherefore, he is able also to save them, that's the word zozo, to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Did you know, I remember when I learned this, I had not learned as a child, but then I learned after I married my husband and we went to Bible school, that Jesus still has a present day ministry. One of them is he ever lives to make intercession. See, he is our apostle, the apostle and high priest of our profession or our confession. Praise God, he's still alive. He still has a ministry from the heavens, in the heavens, okay? Because he's not on earth. Now he can appear to somebody in a vision like we saw in the book of Acts, you know? But it is the Holy Spirit, the person of the Godhead, that is here with us today, on earth today. Amen. And he is, just as Jesus said, one just like him. Amen. And so, but anyway, that I don't want to go, don't want to get sidetracked. So we see here some examples, those three examples, where this word zozo is translated in our Bibles as saved. Now, that same word, see, this was save in the present tense. Now, that same word zozo in the past tense, saved, is referenced another 53 times. And so we're going to see, just take my word for that, but for the sake of what we're teaching, we go to Mark 5:23. And we're going to see the same word. And again, you can use your Strong's Concordance, the expository concordance of New Testament words. You can use the vines. You can use, you know, the what is the other one that we have? You know, there's several others really good. And you can go and find that word, and it will tell you what word is it in the Greek and where to find it, okay? And so anyway, the point I'm making here is that this word is also translated healed. And by the context, you can really see that it's talking about physical healing. And but it's the same word. And of course, Jesus told us about it, and we're going to see the scripture, those scriptures as well. Mark 5:23, this is talking about Jairus that came to Jesus about his daughter. And it says, he besought him greatly, Jairus, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed." So that word healed is the same word, zozo. "And she shall live." Praise God. And so in this instance, zozo, healed, refers to physical healing. Now let's go to verses 35. Through 43. You're making it easy on me. Thank you. Because, as you know, Jairus came to Jesus, and then they got interrupted. As Jesus was following Jairus to go to his home to pray for the daughter, then the woman of the issue of blood, you know, because there was a multitude surrounding and following Jesus, and the woman with the issue of blood came in and touched him and, you know, was made whole. That's, we'll get there, if not today, some other time. But after that happened, then, you know, after that interruption, comes verse 35. While he, would you give me the New King James, if it's possible, real quickly? I like the King James, but some people might prefer the New King James. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue, who said, "Your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" The King James says, "Why trouble the master any further?" And so verse 36, please. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." See, Jesus was teaching here, what you started believing, don't let a disappointment or bad news, reports from the doctor, reports from whatever, see, change your focus. You had focused on Jesus and getting help from him. Don't let disappointments and whatever, you know, that might seem in the natural, the proverbial hell, come loose. Amen? You keep your eyes on the Lord. You started believing, continue to. Amen? And so, verse 37, it's so important. Jesus knew fear. If you will let fear come in, you know, somebody said fear how does that go? Is faith contaminated? Fear tolerated. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's true. You know, fear can be really subtle. And we're all subject to it. But we can remember the words of Jesus. Somebody said that there's a scripture for every day of the Bible that says, fear not. 365 times in the Bible. Glory to God. Amen. So Jesus knew it. See, you pay attention to Jesus. He knows, man. I mean, there's a scripture that says he knew the heart of men. He knew their thoughts. He still knows our thoughts. But you know, he doesn't condemn us. But if we will trust him and lay hold of him, he'll get us out of whatever trap that the enemy has set for us. Amen? So anyway, verse 37, and he, did I read 36, darling? I did? Okay. And then verse 37, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Why did he do that? Well, because he didn't want unbelief around. Amen? Sometimes it is wise to choose whom you will ask to pray for you. Amen? Because you don't know what they're going to pray. You know, and we love them. We love them. We love them. We don't, but you have to be wise. Mm-hmm. Amen? So he permitted no one. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, saw a tumult, and those who wept wailed loudly. You know, they had professional people that came when somebody died, truly. That's what they thought, that they were those people in the town that were that really care for others. So they came to grieve with those that grieved. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. See, Jesus hadn't changed his mind. He was not moved by any difficulty level. And so they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him. See, those were Peter and John and James. And entered where the child was lying. And then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. And the next verse says, but he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. You'd think, why would he say that no one should know it? Well, he must have known that whatever that may have been said to the parents could have been a hindrance. Did you know? I mean, I've told you before that, you know, some of you have heard these. There was a girl when we were going to school in Texas, in Waxahachie, Texas. That was before we went to Tulsa. And I befriended this girl, precious, full of life. She loved the Lord. She entered the room and there was breath of fresh air. It was a beautiful girl. Her name was Hilda Orozco, remember? And anyway, she was a single girl that lived in the dorms. And so she was suddenly found ill with a real rapid case of rheumatoid arthritis that was causing her to lose mobility and was in pain. And so I started ministering to her. She let me. I started just showing her scripture and what the will of God was regarding her. And she was very happy to hear it. And to make a long story short, one evening, she agreed to go to church with us, or to for us to take her. We literally had to. You weren't able to come because you stayed. Pastor told you actually Sunday how that for 2 years, right? We were house parents at a Presbyterian home. It was really an open door that the Lord opened for us, and we got to minister to a lot of boys. We always had just boys. And anyway, and their families, because many of them were there because the families didn't know what to do with them. So they were troubled children one way or the other, and we, by the grace of God, got really wonderful results. But anyway, so a friend, another guy, drove Hilda and I to a church in Dallas. It was over an hour drive in heavy Dallas traffic. Back then, when if there were speed limits, they certainly, those Texans didn't know it. Yeah, but they drove even faster back then. Because I've been in the United States long enough that the speed limit came down. Is that true or no? I mean, they were driving 80. Yeah, he goes, shh, yeah, oh yeah. And you did too. Anyway. but anyhow, so and 80 or not, 4 or 5 lane, you know. So, but anyway, so we went, and I kept telling her, our pastor moves in the working of miracles and gifts of healing. And you know, because I was learning. And I said, I believe that if you'll come to church with us, he'll pray for you, you'll be healed. And so she was getting worse, so she came. And anyway, this was one day, the only day that I could remember, that the pastor didn't have an altar call for healing. He always did. We always had miracles, every service. Every service, people were being saved. This was 78, maybe, something like that. Anyway, every service. I mean, we'd go every Sunday and another wall had been knocked down to give more room for more chairs. And miracles were just happening, but remarkable miracles. What a move of God. Anyway, so I said, we've had our faith that you would be prayed for tonight and you would be healed. So I said, the pastor didn't call it, then we're going to go to the pastor. And so anyway, I did. The pastor knew us. And, you know, when you have a church that is of thousands, but praise God, he knew us and he had talked to us. We were always, you know, we were faithful. We were sitting, and one day he came and talked to us and wanted to know, who are you? And what are you doing here? And anyway, so to make a long story short, we brought her. This other young man and I had to literally, you know, just lift her and bring her to the front. And the pastor asked her, what is the matter? And we told him. And he looked at her and said, you don't need a healing. You need to be delivered. And he commanded that devil to loose her. And instantly she was made whole. See, that's the word zozo, and we're going to see it here, instantly. But you see, we took her back to the dorms, and now she could go up all the, I can still see that set of stairs, remember, on the outside and then also on the inside, those big doors. And people were saying, Lazarus has been raised. But, I mean, it was so obvious. But you see, and these were Christian people, most of them filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking another tongue. But they were saying, now be careful, because you see, bless the hearts, they had unbelief. And before we knew it, symptoms were coming back. But praise God, she had heard enough of the word and she let me minister to her, and we got her back to where then she didn't lose it. She didn't let the words of others affect her. You see, so that is what Jesus was saying there. That Jesus always had a reason for saying everything. Just let's accept it.
Right. Yep.
Amen? So these instances, also, heal, refers to physical healing. And even physical resurrection from the dead. Because this girl, I don't know how old she was, but she was this daddy's baby. And she was healed, and she was raised from the dead. And the Bible calls it Zozo. So let's go to Luke 8:36. Didn't mean to take that long to give you that example. But you see, we've seen that in other cases. Depending on where you go back and who you're among, they can talk you out to your healing. And I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. You know, and be negative about anyone, but not everybody has the light.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
At least not yet, right? So we need to watch it. We need to love them, but certain things are not to be shared with everybody, because they'll try to talk you out of it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So the important thing is that you give yourself time to really, really, really see it in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
When you really, 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 really see it, then nobody can talk you out of it. Amen? So Luke 8:36, this is another scripture where the word Zozo appears. And this is interesting because it also refers to deliverance from demons.
Mm-hmm.
Here it says, they also who had seen it, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. This was the case of that man that was demon-possessed. Sometimes deliverance from demons is necessary for someone to receive healing. And don't be afraid of that. Amen? But I just gave you that example. The sister in Christ, she is precious. She loved Jesus with all her heart. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was a joy to be around to everyone. You know? But she was not offended, neither were the rest of us. And the pastor commanded that demon to loose her. She didn't have a demon in her spirit. She was a child of God. She was precious in the Lord's sight. But somehow, a demon had gotten in and caused havoc in her body.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So we've seen that. We've seen that in cases in our lifetime, and we see that in the Bible. Acts 14:9. Now see, I don't want to get too sidetracked here. This is another case, Acts 14:9. Okay, did we not read Luke 8:36, darling? Yeah, we read it. Acts 14:9 says, the man heard Paul speaking, and Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up, straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Praise God. Here, I love this case because Paul sees this crippled man and he's ministering. Paul is preaching. And he perceives that this man had faith to be healed. And so then he tells him, you know, gives him the command. And so if you go back to verse 9, you'll see the word zozo. It's the word healed. He had faith to be healed. It's zozo. The same word that's translated saved in other places. Okay, this is healed. Glory to God. We're going somewhere with these. So, James 5:15. This is a classic example that we're very familiar with. It says the prayer of faith will save the sick. You see, some people have thought through in the past that these had to do with salvation because the King James and even the New King James uses the word save. But if the sick that is talking here is a member of the body of Christ, he doesn't need salvation anymore. He needs healing. Right. You see, so this is talking about physical healing. Mm-hmm. Right. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. And other translations do express it that way. So we see in the scripture, we're going to see scriptures that will validate these, that the saving of the Lord Jesus Christ is manifested in our lives both in the forgiveness of sins and in the healing of sickness. And it is also manifesting in protection, in safety, in preservation. All of those words, in fact, they're all contained in the word zozo. You know, since I'm here right now, but we'll come back to the New Testament. But notice how wonderful this scripture is. Yes, Lord, I want to give credit to this scripture. The prayer of faith will heal the sick, the word zozo, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Look what the prayer of faith does. And notice this, if. It's not that everyone. Don't let the devil be your accuser.
Right. Amen.
And don't let the devil use you as an accuser of others. So, because, you know, some theories that go about if a person's sick is because they sinned. Show me in the Bible. There were some cases where that seemed to be true, but don't lump everyone there. Mm-hmm. Amen? Plus, it's really not our job to accuse and to fall fine. Mm-hmm. Find fault. Right? But, you know, we all have to admit that we all are subject to miss it. So let's not get offended if the Holy Spirit shows us that we have committed some sin. Let's get it repented and let's go on.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. If we would see with the grace of God how wonderful, how deep, how wide, Amen. How long and how tall it is.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you, Lord. So let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 started with verse 1 through 3. Let's consider these. See, Jesus didn't just die for our sins. Thank God he did. Thank God he did. He condemned, he nailed sin to the cross. If we would realize that sin has no more power over us. The person that truly understands that will not let sin dominate. There's a scripture that says, sin shall have no more dominion. Don't let it. Exercise authority. Know who you are in Christ. Pastor last year gave us a series of messages that were so wonderful about who we are in Christ. Know yourself in him. And don't give place to the devil. He's under your feet. He's under my feet too. Amen. Just consider Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, the psalmist said, O my soul, and all that is within me. I love that. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. Verse 3 says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Now, it continues on to give even more benefits. And I encourage you to go and meditate on those and claim those. Mm-hmm. Amen? You know, in fact, let's go ahead and read them. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, all of that is in the salvation package. And forgive me if it seem like I'm using a phrase here that is too loose, too disrespectful to call it the salvation package. But I tell you, the abundance of God's magnanimity toward us. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth, your mouth, with good things. Amen? Glory to God. He has taught us how to talk. Amen? That our mouth is full with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm putting in parenthesis here, I've been blessed. I was blessed here lately, and I sent it to Pastor Jim. How many of you have heard of, if you've been here in this church, you have Pastor John Hagee, you know, and he's in his 80s. Anyway, he and his wife just celebrated 46 years of marriage. And he posted, in different outlets, but I saw it on Instagram. And it was the cutest, sweetest letter to his wife. Talk about romantic. You don't have to let the world teach you about romanticism. Learn from men like John Hagee and even Kenneth Copeland. Did you know today it was him and Gloria Copeland's 60th anniversary? And so in all those outlets, there was that, those pictures. And he, in that famous song that he sings to her, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. And anyway, I sent that of John Hagee to him because it sounded like something that he has written to me before. Husbands, do you write sweet romantic notes to your wives? You should if you don't. Na 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 na. No. In my cabinets in the kitchen, I open them and I have little sticky notes that he has left me. It has gone long ways. Amen. Anyway, I don't know why I got there. But your youth is renewed like the eagles. And one of the things that he was saying, bless me, at the very end, you see, there's a way, there's we all need good examples, models, and mentors in our life. Amen. Or how to have a good life. And so he said this at the end. Love of my life, come walk with me. The best is yet to be. Amen. You don't just say that in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s. Go on to your 50s and your 60s and your 70s and now the 80s. Amen. With long life, he'll satisfy you. Psalmist said in 91, verse, in chapter 91, praise the Lord and show you his salvation. So I was blessed also to hear him, and he was preaching on healing. And I tell you, as a man his age with faith, amen. You don't change your tune as you get older. Take time to get the word of God within you and to let it be established. Amen. That as you get older, you don't give place to the devil just by accepting that this is normal. Because just like you don't lose your salvation and the benefits of salvation as you get older, we don't lose the benefits of the covenant of healing. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So anyway, that scripture's good, isn't it? Let's go back to, what's happening to the clock? Luke 6:9. Another way that the Bible translates the word zozo is made whole. So we see save, present, saved, healed, delivered, and now we see made whole. So this is talking about the man with the withered hand. It says, Jesus, okay, did I give you the right one?
Yes.
Okay. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And when he had looked around them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. And that is the word zozo there. He was made whole. Praise God. Isn't that good? What we have in Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 9:22. That's a good scripture. Matthew 9:22. Well, they're all good. It says, Jesus turned around. Now, this was the woman with the issue of blood. We find the account in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. This one is a shorter account here. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well, says the New King James. The King James says, your faith has made you whole. I like that. I like the word whole. Because this lady, precious lady, that has suffered for 18 years, that she was getting worse instead of better, that he spent all she had on going to the best or specialist, you know. But she was made whole. Not only healed, but whole. You know, sometimes when people suffer from a sickness that long, it's not just that that now they're facing with facing, but other things, because you know that they have suffered for so long that there's other things that are wrong. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you know, weakness and fatigue, etc., etc. But Jesus said, "You're whole," and it says the woman was made whole mm-hmm. from that same hour. Mm-hmm. Praise God! Thank you, Lord Jesus. So this is the same Greek word that is synonymous with forgiveness of sin. And right here, again, we see it, that is referring to someone being healed or made whole physically. And of course, that same instance is recorded in Mark 5. And we'll see it some other time, because that scripture has so much to teach us. Amen? So notice these, Mark 6:56. So what we want to see is that in the scripture we see very clearly that God's word isn't limited only, that word salvation is not limited only to the forgiveness of sins. Now, I'm going to present to you a thought. You don't have to accept it, but just think about it. You know, I've heard it all my life. I've even said that before, that the most important thing is the salvation of the soul, the forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. But what would you think if, you know, put yourself in the place of the Lord, that he has made all of these available, but that we should say, "Well, I'm going to receive these." You know, you can keep that. I don't really, you know, thank you, but I'm going to take the most important thing. And who decides that's the most important? When he put equal importance. He's not saying, "Don't be saved." I'm not saying that either. You know, but the Lord gave us more than just the forgiveness of our sins. But I present to you that in the church as a whole, and I've been part of the church for many years. I was saved when I was 8 and knew that I was. Nobody could talk me away from it all my life. And I've heard that, almost like despising whatever else the Lord has done. Because these I can believe. Mm-hmm. These I can accept. Mm-hmm. But oh, what joy when we can also accept, believe, receive from the Lord, even using a word that may be too strong for some of you. Take all that he offers. Amen. Just a thought for you to process. Amen? Did we say Mark 6:56? Yes. Did I touch it?
No.
Okay. Wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Or well, that's the word, zozo. Did you know Jesus ministered healing more than anything else? Now, I will tell you, Matthew 9 says that Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing the gospel of the kingdom. So he gave the same importance to preaching, teaching, and healing. But you see, the healing was the result of his preaching and his teaching. It was God demonstrating that what Jesus had been preaching and teaching were so.
Right.
You know how many times that he would say to people, your sins are forgiven. Mm-hmm. And then he would say, rise and be healed. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they found fault.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? Only God can forgive sin.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that instance?
Yes.
And that Jesus said, so that you will know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. Rise up to the lame, and paralyzed man. Rise up and walk. The man did. Jesus even asked them, so what is harder to do? Remember? What is harder to do? To forgive sins? Or to heal? They didn't have the answer for that. But you see, they thought that to forgive sins was easier. You know why? And that is the condition that I think a lot of the church is in. We think it's easier because we don't see it. And so we don't have to see the outward effects of it necessarily. And so we receive forgiveness for sins. It's something inward. But what is easier for the Lord? What is more costly? What was more costly? What cost Jesus more to do? Amen. And so I'm going to finish because I only have 3 minutes. And of course, we're not exhausting this at all, but let's go to 1 Peter 2:24. Scripture does not separate what Jesus did in the atonement. And you understand what the word atonement means. It was the sacrifice of Jesus when he paid for what was our payment to make, but we couldn't. There's not a way any of us could have done it. It took the blameless lamb to do it. Amen? And so we're going to see 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So, this is a scripture. Go to Matthew 8:17, would you? Just have Matthew 8:17, and we will read Isaiah 53:3-5, and we will finish. Matthew 8:17 is Jesus's translation, Jesus's commentary of Isaiah 53. You see, he made it simple. He says that it might be fulfilled. Actually, if you will read the scripture before that, that's when it was said that Jesus went about healing, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Isaiah 53, this is where what he was quoting. He was quoting that chapter. Starting with verse 3. He is despised. I mean, we could read the whole thing, but it says he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely, this is what was happening. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. See, and then now let's go back again to Matthew 8:17. Matthew interprets griefs and sorrow to mean infirmities and sicknesses. You know, Jesus is like he's interpreting the scripture in Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. But then would you allow me to go back again to 1 Peter 2:24? Because this is after Jesus. See, Isaiah saw it as a prophet before it was to happen. Then Jesus was living it and being as he walked. But then now Peter sees it looking back. Because Peter saw Jesus at the cross. I was reading the other day, I'll try to do this fast, but I was reading something about how many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ, the movie? Whoa. And he was talking about all that it took and what an actor. What a precious man. And it said that actually, you know, when... who was the director and producer? Remind me of his name. No. You're giving me the actor. Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson, who's a good Catholic man. And he paid millions, I think 30 million himself, for it. And he talked to Jim. What she said, and said, you know, you might be marginalized by Hollywood after these. And talked to him about what it would take to make the movie. But he committed to it. He lost, I think, 20 or 30 pounds, was very exposed, you know, to elements. But anyway, this man apparently was also a believer. Mm-hmm. How many of you know that there are Catholics that are believers?
Yes.
Very precious people. Anyway, and so he said, because Mel Gibson told him, don't answer me right away. You probably know all these already better than I do, but I just read it recently. And so that he came back to him and he said, no, I need to do this. Plus, I'm 33 years old. Something else he said, I read it to you, that it was just... He just knew that it was of God, that he needed to do it. The testimonies of people that got saved, gave their lives to God, atheists, Muslims, that were part of the crew of making this movie. Because the actor that did the thief, oh no, that did Barabbas. Yeah. He said that as he looked at him, it was like looking at at Jesus' eyes. Well, you know, the presence of God was just all over the place. But anyway, I'm not trying to talk about the movie, but to say that Peter was looking back because he saw it, and he said he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins might live for righteousness. Let's do that. Let's truly worship and give him glory by living for righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. We have the Holy Spirit in us to help us. Mm-hmm. On our own, we can't do it. Amen. But we, as I look around, we've all been born again. Mm-hmm. And then it says, by whose stripes you were healed. If you were, notice that is past tense. If you were, then you are.
That's right.
It's not that you're not healed, it's that the devil's trying to steal that from you.
Yeah.
Resist him.
Amen.
Health and healing belongs to you. It was provided just as much as salvation.
Amen.
Amen. So I just encourage you, because I need to quit, because I've gone longer than what I should have. But we'll continue on, we'll get deeper. But ask the Holy Spirit to help you, not just nod on it, but grab a hold of it. One of the best ways that I learned to receive healing from the Lord was... Pastor Jim brought that up Sunday, praying in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. I said this one time when the doctor in town had diagnosed me with a duodenal ulcer that he said I would have for life. He said, Lydia is like the one I have, and those don't get healed of those. There's other types, you know. But he said to you, and so... he was just so precious, Dr. Stockwell, who was our landlord when we had the church in the bypass. And anyway, I went home and I said, Lord, I know this is not your will. Mm-hmm. By your stripes, I was healed. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, but, you know, I was frank. He made me go to the doctor because he said I would moan in the middle of the night with pain. And he said all night. I guess I was sleeping. Anyway, and so I repented for giving place to it. I'd been letting stress get to me. I just now having two children, and you know, whatever. But I said, Lord, you have healed me. You provided healing for me. This is not your will. You see, you have to start with that, to know that's not the will of God. God didn't put sickness to teach you something. He didn't send Jesus and by his stripes healed you and then say, okay, you're a special case. In your case, I'm going to have to put sickness on you to teach you something. No. Our infirmities, our sicknesses, our diseases were laid on Jesus, just as much as our sins.
Amen.
If he bore it, I don't have to bear it.
Right.
But you know, I said, Holy Spirit, I need your help. And Dr. Stockwell had given me some samples. He asked me what pharmacy to send it, and I don't know what I told him. Very gracious that he was, he gave me some samples of the two things he said that I was going to have to take for life. And I don't know, he gave it to me for a week or 7 days. I mean, seven, a week or 7 days. One of the two. Yeah, both. I don't know if it was 7 days or 10. There's a discrepancy of memory between him and me. But I said, Lord, I'm going to take these right now. See, we're not against medicine. I'm going to take these, but I'm going to trust you that by the time that I'm done with the samples, I will have received my healing. But I need your help. So what I'm going to do, Lord, at that time in my life, you know, I was, Joanna was a year. So this was 32 years ago. And anyway, I said, and at that time, I didn't know how to sit. I didn't know how to, I know you can relate to me. I know the women of you can relate to me. Yeah, I know you. I know who you are. I know you. That you just don't know how to stop. You don't know how to sit. You don't know how to take time for yourself because there's so much you need to do. And on top of that, you just, you know, you have energy and vision to do it. So you're not going to stop. And so anyway, I said, Lord, I'm going to lay down when I put Joanna to sleep. She may have been younger than a year, but anyway, when I put her to sleep, I'm going to lay down and I'm going to pray in the Spirit to energize my faith so that I will lay hold of your healing. As you know, until that moment, whenever I prayed, it was always, you got to pray for somebody. I know you too, who you are. You don't know how to receive from the Lord for yourself. I'd get up every morning and walk the neighborhood praying for everybody in that city and their little dog. Maybe not their little dog, but you know what I mean. And so anyway, I told the Lord, Lord, I'm not, and you know what? The Lord didn't think that I was being selfish. Mm-hmm. I needed help. Mm-hmm. And so I said, Lord, I'm not going to intercede for anybody. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm just going to pray in the Spirit to build up my most holy faith, mm-hmm. like we read in Jude 20. Amen. And I did that. And I tell you, the Lord really helped me. He did. I did my part because I believe he had already done his part. And I learned to rest in him. Amen. And so at the end of those samples, the ulcer was gone. And the doctor proved it. And like I told you, he was our landlord. And he would come and see me every so often. And he'd ask me, and you're still fine? You're still fine? I'd say, yes, Dr. Jesus. Jesus is my healer. I receive my healing from the Lord. Well, that's just something. He'd go around. It's so precious. He was a Christian man. I said, you know, Jesus wants to heal you too. He said, oh, well, it's too late for me. He said, no, it's not, but precious man. We could talk about Jesus, but that was a bit too much for him, you know. But anyway, the Lord is good. He wants you healed. You have to start with that premise. The Word of God says, Jesus took my infirmities, bore my diseases. I don't have to be sick. And I believe I receive my healing. Amen? So I would go, I'd pray, and I said, Lord, I thank you. I believe I receive my healing. I thank you for your help in helping me to receive it. And he did. He helped me. I was healed. Amen? And so are you. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for allowing me a little longer. Let's celebrate the goodness of the Lord this week. And we will come back Sunday and really celebrate. Amen? Well, thank you for coming, and thank you for your attention, and enjoy the scriptures as you go back home.
Amen.